It's been a long time since malaria was a problem in the United States, but this disease remains a scourge in many tropical countries. In recent years, malaria rates have been rising fast in Amazonian countries, including Peru, Colombia, Ecuador. The poorest and most crowded communities are usually the most vulnerable. There is a big quarrel going on now in the public health sector over how to respond to this new wave of malaria. On one side of the argument are experts who say it is time to make it much easier for people to be tested and treated. On the other side, there's DDT. The world's most notorious pesticide also happens to be the most effective mosquito killer ever invented. NPR's John Nielsen traveled to Ecuador to investigate malaria there.
A malaria crisis is now moving through Central and Latin America. In Ecuador, the worst of it is on display in Esmeraldas, a dilapidated lowland city on the Pacific coast.
Monica Bermudez.
Feverish residents of Esmeraldas line up every day at the malaria desk at their local hospital. An orderly pricks their fingers and smears drops of blood on little plates of glass.
Sí, inclusive.
Everybody in Esmeraldas knows somebody with this disease, including this school teacher who says his cousin nearly died of it last week. A little girl behind the man sees the needle and panics. Her mother pulls her out of the line. Malaria expert Keith Carter notes that if this little girl does not take the free blood test, she won't be able to get the free drugs that kill the malaria parasite before mosquitoes can pass it on. These drugs also kill the fever, which is not a thing you want your child to endure.
It is a debilitating disease. It can break you up. In a couple of days, you can go from feeling very, very well with a slight chill and a slight fever to being prostrate in 2 days in a bed and falling into a coma and dying.
Carter works for the Pan American Health Organization. He says the countries in this region have been hit by a series of malaria epidemics since the mid-1990s. The worst of these epidemics have involved a type of malaria that is especially brutal and sometimes fatal.
We have been very alarmed over the last 3 or 4 years because you have seen an increase in the number of people and, of course, kids becoming infected. And remember, we are speaking of a parasite, the falciparum parasite, increasing numbers of that parasite which can cause death.
Malaria rarely kills people in this part of the world. Instead, almost every year it cripples families and workforces for months at a time. Roughly 95,000 people caught this disease in Ecuador last year alone. Almost all of these victims lived in muggy lowland slums. Nobody knows exactly why the crisis came this way, but by most accounts, it's got something to do with the fact that in countries like Ecuador, more and more people are living in crowded lowland towns near forests full of the kinds of mosquitoes that carry malaria from one human victim to the next. Carter adds that these people are also much more mobile than they used to be, which helps spread the problem around. Also, for whatever reason, it has rained a lot in recent years. Esmeraldas is not a city that handles rain well. We found that out when we tried to visit a malarial neighborhood in the middle of a rainstorm. The car got stuck, and so we ended up walking on a mud road past tin and bamboo shacks raised out of the slop on wooden stilts. Under these shacks and along the road were countless puddles of water. According to Carter, puddles like these are nirvana for mosquito larvae.
Basically, it's fresh water. And the mosquitoes like this sort of water to lay their eggs. And with these little pools that you can see around here, which have all bits of grass and so on, the mosquitoes lay their eggs there, and then the larvae will develop under these leaves and start flourishing.
How long does the rainy season last around here?
This season will probably last another 4 or 5 months. So we're speaking of 6 months.
A few minutes later, we yanked off our boots and climbed up into one of the stilted bamboo shacks. Carter introduced us to the leader of a door-to-door war on mosquitoes and malaria.
Me llamo Dorcas Vanegas. Dorcas Vanegas.
Dorcas Vanegas ushers us into a spotless one-room bamboo living unit with a great big refrigerator near the door and a row of narrow beds behind a curtain a few feet away. She lives here with her husband and six children. All of them have had malaria in recent years.
Aquí tengo un niño enfermo. Tengo un niño enfermo ahorita. Está toda la noche con fiebre. Pero no lo hemos podido llevar por esta lluvia tampoco.
She has a son that it's now with fever since last night. But with all these rains, they couldn't take the child to the malaria laboratory.
Venegas started fighting back about a year ago when she agreed to join a loose network of anti-malarial volunteers. These street captains clean up garbage piles and drain pools of water in hopes of making the lives of local mosquitoes as miserable as possible.
La limpieza que hemos hecho y otros compañeros aquí de
what they do is all the community clean all the borders of the river so the water can go straight.
Que eso se mantenga limpio.
She hands out bed nets soaked in mosquito repellent. She keeps track of who gets sick and when they get their medication. She helps regional authorities pinpoint malarial hotspots. She's proud of her work.
Este año he visto de que hay pocas personas enfermas porque yo
she
soy
thinks
muy
things are better. She can see that it's not as bad as last year, that last year was much worse.
As malaria rates have risen in this region in recent years, international public health groups have been channeling more and more of their money into locally based campaigns designed to roll back malaria. Keith Carter thinks national rates of infection will start falling as these neighborhood programs are expanded. But some Ecuadorian health officials want to spend that money elsewhere. They want to renew a war on the mosquitoes that carry malaria. Their weapon of choice is the world's most potent mosquito-killing pesticide, DDT. Just outside a warehouse in the city of Guayaquil, a member of Ecuador's National Health Service tests a pesticide spraying machine. Not too many years ago, machines like this were filled with DDT and carried into 500,000 Ecuadorian homes every year. In those days, malarial mosquitoes almost always bit people sleeping in their beds and then rested on the walls of a bedroom. These mosquitoes died instantly when they landed on a wall that had been sprayed with DDT. Victor Reyes, a health official who has fought malaria with the National Health Service for 45 years, says it's no coincidence that during the time of the spraying, Ecuador had some of the lowest rates of malaria in the tropical world. This is a magnificent insecticide, he says. We have never found it to be toxic in any way to the human beings who apply it. People who have worked with it for 25 years have never had any bad reactions. But DDT is also the pesticide that Rachel Carson wrote about in her book Silent Spring. When applied to crops on a regular basis, it rises up through the food chain, killing off birds and marine mammals. Some studies have suggested that DDT might also cause human health problems, but that's more controversial. DDT is banned in the United States, but it's not banned in Ecuador. Victor Reyes says it's time to start importing DDT and spraying it on the walls of tens of thousands of Ecuadorian bedrooms at the least. But so far, the government won't give him permission, and aid groups won't give him money. Thinks he knows who they've been talking to.
Es una imposición de los grupos ecologistas que dicen que el DDT.
It's an imposition of the ecological groups, he says. In Quito, they say DDT has been found in mother's milk, even though DDT has never even been used there. He doesn't understand how it's possible. Reyes says malaria rates first began rising again in Ecuador in the early 1980s as funding for DDT programs started drying up. He adds that the current malaria crisis is much more than a threat to public health. He says all of the country's main export products are grown in malarial zones. Banana, cocoa, coffee, and shrimp. They're all from malarial areas. This crisis is an economic one. Arguments like that one helped derail a recent effort to add DDT to an international list of banned chemicals. In the wake of that decision, some public health experts have been urging the international community to make it easier for countries like Ecuador to get a hold of DDT. Critics of that point of view have noted that Mexico seems to have all but eliminated its malarial problems without using DDT, so why run a risk by using it at all? Keith Carter with the Pan American Health Organization says everybody involved in this argument seems to have a hold of a piece of the truth. In his view, even though limited use of DDT may well be necessary in some hot spots, there's no point in trying to revive a massive centralized spraying campaign. He says the government has neither the money nor the manpower to do that, and besides, they've already tried it once, and it failed. We're on the second floor of the Esmeraldas Hospital now. Rain is leaking through the roof, and puddles are forming in the corners of the recovery room in front of us. Slumped on a bed in the middle of the room is a child named Juan Carlos. He's just emerged from a 9-day coma caused by malaria, and he's so weak he can barely sit up. There's no sign of a mosquito net.
¿Cómo estás, Juan Carlos? ¿Cómo estás?
Juan Carlos.
Bien. ¿Cuántos años tienes, Juan Carlos? 10 años.
This is a little boy who is 10, who looks probably like 6. I obviously undernourished, anemic, needs blood. It's unbelievable.
Juan Carlos is being tended by his 13-year-old cousin. His parents had to go back to their jobs, where they make about $40 a month. The boy badly needs a blood transfusion, but that would cost his parents more than $80, and so the boy just sits there. Carter says Juan Carlos is lucky to be alive. A physician standing next to him mumbles, "Maybe not." As we were leaving the hospital, we ran into a social worker who was looking for a donor who could give this boy his blood for free. We don't know whether she found one. John Nielsen, NPR News, Esmeraldas, Ecuador.